The Orb, Volume 2, Number 4. Responsibility. Hello, welcome to The Orb. My name is Reed Hart. A member of The Orb asked that I address responsibility. It was on his mind after reading about the scandal with Boy Scouts. In mid-February, the Fifth Estate, a news magazine program of the CBC, covered a scandal in scouting in Canada. This subject has been covered before, going back to 1991, when Patrick Boyle authored Scout's Honor, Sexual Abuse in America's Most Trusted Institution. The stories are tragic and horrific. Young boys were abused by predators taking advantage of the organization's ability to draw them into close quarters. The core of the scandal is in how scouting, both in the U.S. and Canada, handled the incidents as they became known, and also in the response by some members of the community. One lawyer, in a case in Oregon, spoke of how the scouts rarely alerted the police about alleged abuse, and when they did, the movement asked the authorities to avoid publicity. They had a regular practice of placing guys on probation, and then they would allow them to continue to be active in scouting, not unlike some of what you saw in the Catholic Church. The routine was that they would deal with it internally. They would place the pedophile on their list of ineligible volunteers, and if it was droppable, they would drop it, and it was done. There were numerous examples of scouting executives saying, "Let's keep this quiet. He's out of scouting now, so we don't need to do any more about it." We saw numerous examples of the scouts writing to law enforcement saying, "It would be best for the good of scouting if this could avoid being made too public." Law enforcement was almost complicit in this, saying, "We'll do our best to keep this quiet because we value the work of the Boy Scouts." Patrick Boyle, the author of Scout's Honor, said the scout leadership lost sight of its real purpose in dealing with pedophiles. "They've behaved like a corporation with an embarrassing product defect that they don't want to acknowledge. The scouts were minimizing the extent of the problem within their organization and in large part discrediting their own Boy Scout victims and trying to hide the product defect, so to speak, by misleading people into thinking they didn't really know how many cases they have. They didn't have a file system, and then fighting tooth and nail in court to keep it secret. They've also been very heavy-handed with the victims, not apologizing." The mother of a Santa Barbara County teenager says he was wronged twice, once by the Boy Scout leader who sexually abused him in 2007, and then by a local scout's executive, who she said told her not to call police. He said that wasn't necessary, because the scouts do their own internal investigation. She thought that was really weird. She thought it was really important to call the sheriff right away. So she did, triggering an investigation of the volunteer, who was charged with abusing her son and two other boys. In 2009, he pleaded no contest to felony child endangerment. But the boy's mother said her son has been deeply affected in part because other families from the troop accused him of lying or hallucinating about the abuse. Our interest in this is the responsibility of the organization to protect those in its charge. I'd argue that we generally assume organizations do this. That's why there's a scandal now. A confidential 1972 policy memo by the Boy Scouts of America has also come to light, showing officials urged discretion when dealing with molesters. It advises to indicate to the accused molester that the Boy Scouts of America is not sharing this information with anyone and only wish him to stop all scouting activity. That is not what most would consider responsible behavior. Most people would hold that the organization should have had the policy it undertook in 2010, requiring any suspicion of abuse to be immediately reported to law enforcement. As Patrick Boyle had stated, the behavior is like that of a corporation. The interest of the corporation is limited to returning a profit to its shareholders, not in protecting either the environment or even its own customers. The idea of the corporation as a person goes back to the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. It includes the text that no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This whole amendment was intended to grant rights to blacks after the Civil War. However, lawyers immediately got the courts to grant these protections to corporations. That has created an environment in which the rights granted by law extend to corporations without also extending the responsibilities that are inherent in being a living, breathing, moral person. People who don't want to bear the responsibility for their actions as a business choose to incorporate. It is, after all, their goal to create a limited liability company. Now those people can engage in a business practice without regard for the responsibilities that would normally flow from those practices.
Think about it, we'd be better off without it. Think about it. We'd be better off without it.
Thinking about what you are or are not responsible for is a very tough business. In fact, it is probably one of the toughest things people do throughout their lives. As we form into societies, we do it to gain benefits. Those benefits come at a cost in freedom and in responsibility. As an individual, your responsibility is for your own survival. As a member of a society, there is a larger body of people whose interests are tied up with your own. Now you owe them something for the benefits you receive. Just how much you owe them is where the difficulties lie. Consider this hypothetical choice. A train with about 300 people is heading for a bridge. You know the bridge will collapse if the train tries to cross it. Before the bridge is a switch that will redirect the train on a second track. That track will collide with a bus containing about 20 children. Someone is going to die. In fact, rather a lot of people are going to die. You must now choose the hundreds on the train or the couple of dozen in the bus. You could pretend you don't know what you know and let things play out without any interference. Do your responsibilities change if others know what you know? If you are the only one who knows, you can simply walk away and just have to live with yourself. If there is someone else that knows you know, someone else is watching, there is a new burden on you. There could be repercussions based on the choice you make. What if you have a spouse on the train? Does that help you to take the utilitarian view and throw the switch, going for the greatest good for the greatest number? How about if you have a child on the bus? Would you allow the train to wreck at the bridge, killing hundreds of strangers, to save your own child? Oh, go ahead, make them prisoners being transferred to a new facility. What if you have both a spouse on the train and a child in the bus? These are some of the toughest challenges we can imagine. People tend to carry more responsibility closer to home, and the farther you get from that, the lower the level of responsibility. This applies to the people we don't know, too. The farther away they live, the more different they appear, the less responsibility we carry for their well-being. What is your responsibility for the suffering in Darfur or Syria? Is there something you should be doing? How does that differ from your responsibility to your neighbor or your children? You have undoubtedly heard it takes a whole village to raise a child. In the context of a community, one learns the value of the participants and sees how each bears their responsibilities to the whole and to each other. In this context, the corporate model really has no place. The Boy Scouts looking out for their own image and reputation at any expense simply would not happen. It's that kind of responsibility that sits in everyone's soul. It is our sense of what it means to be responsible. You imagine that you are part of something bigger, and the interests of others are your interests too.
The road is long, with a many winding tongue that leads us to who knows where. ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Although we now live more and more in cities, densely packed with neighbors, we know them far less than we should. I live in a condo. When I moved in, I hosted a party to which I invited everyone on the floor. About a half a dozen came. That was more than 10 years ago. Of those that came, one couple is still on the floor with me. The rest have moved on. I really need to host another party. My point is that we are atomizing our lives. We live in our own little unit where we care first and foremost for ourselves and our immediate family. Our bond to our community is eroded. That atomization leads to actions like those of the families of scouts that were not molested. Don't tell me about abuse. I don't want to hear it. My family is just fine. Leave me alone. They resent the intrusion into their space to the point that they will try to make the issue disappear. Blame the kid, blame the scout leader, just don't blame me and mine, and don't tell me about where the offender goes. Sure, get him out of scouts, get him out of the state, that's all I care about. Not everyone has descended to that level of individualism yet, but some have. Are they irresponsible? For me, they are. I still live in a community that takes an interest in the lives of others. I take that interest because their lives affect my life, as mine does theirs. What I do in work, what I do politically, has some impact. Maybe not much, but I am a part of something bigger, and I owe that something a responsibility, whether they are next door or around the globe. Patrick Stewart experienced domestic abuse in his childhood and speaks out about it today.
I heard police officers in my home say, well, she must have provoked him. And I heard doctors who came to treat my mother say, well, Mrs. Stewart, it takes two to make a fight. They had no idea.
Speaking out about violence is a responsibility of everyone. Calling out someone who is racist or sexist or otherwise offensive is a responsibility of everyone. It's one we don't often take on, but it is ours nonetheless. Werner Erhard of EST, the Erhard Seminars Training, said, "The hungry have to be given the opportunity to be responsible for their own hunger." This strikes us as rather harsh. The hungry are the victims of the forces in the world. They need to be fed, sure, but they are not responsible for their plight. What he is talking about is not responsibility as blame or guilt. It is about power. If I claim the power over my condition, then I can do something about it. The environmental activist Derek Jensen lays it out clearly.
Abused children oftentimes assume responsibility for the abuse that's done to them. If I would have just cleaned the dishes well enough, my father wouldn't have hit me. If I would have just parked the car here instead of here. And that's crucial when you're powerless. When you're absolutely powerless, you have to take on some power, otherwise you'll drive yourself insane. So to start going, I'm responsible for deforestation because I use toilet paper, is an acknowledgement of my powerlessness in the larger scheme of things, but that's really dangerous because the truth is we do have power And we are culpable for something far greater than using toilet paper, which is for not stopping Weyerhaeuser. That's our responsibility, for not shutting down the whole system. My responsibility for global warming is not because I drive a car, having been born into car culture. My responsibility is for not shutting down car culture as a whole.
Those are big battles to fight. Not every responsibility is going to be answered. We need to pick our battles. I cannot fix the world. I can speak out. I can vote. I can march. I can try my best to make the right choices. A promise made is a debt unpaid.
Growing up, listening to my mother talking to me about the day when I'ma become a man.
When you become a man.
Conversations with my father stressing the fact that life is a test. One day you'll understand.
You'll understand.
Saying we don't expect you to know any better right now, but down the road things will change.
Things will change.
And as you're growing older, gotta put more on your shoulders. So be strong through all the pain.
Strong through all the pain.
So basically all my life I've been waiting for that day to apply all that my parents taught me.
My parents taught me.
Now I'm starting to realize all the things they described are starting to creep up on me.
Creep up on me.
As long as I'm aware of what is there, tomorrow will come and I'll be prepared.
I'll be prepared.
Another day will pass. I know that day's approaching fast. Gotta be responsible. I gotta learn to be responsible.
Gotta be careful with what I do. I gotta control what I say.
Responsibility.
Gotta learn to listen to that reasonable voice. I'm about to make my own choices.
Responsibility.
Growing up, pushed around, stressing, I just hold my ground. But I gotta learn to swallow my pride.
Swallow my pride.
Just a boy, go too fast, force himself to be a man. Ready for the big sacrifice.
The big sacrifice.
Had to get through life, I never had to give, just sacrifice.
Now I try so hard just to build that trust.
Head up, back straight, hands down, I must
move on. Hold my head strong, can't afford to make mistakes, now I'm grown.
Gotta learn to be ready for that burn. Respect that earnest, here to stay for the day. I pray, there's no way I can turn around. Gotta learn how to accept my doubts. Surrounded by many conditions, I gotta take my time, cause now I'm responsible.
Now I'm responsible.
Responsible for my actions, my choices, my ways. Responsible for these
living
days.
Living in the present, but the future is now. I gotta learn from the past, gotta turn it around. Gotta realize that actions speak volumes, and now the younger generations copy all that I do.
So I gotta be careful with what I do. I gotta control what I say.
Responsibility.
Gotta learn to listen to that reasonable voice. I'm about to make my own choices.
Responsibility.
I'm responsible. I'm responsible. I'm responsible. I can take responsibility.
I'm responsible. I'm responsible.
I'm responsible. I can take responsibility.
Gotta be careful with what I do. I gotta control what I say.
Human Right Number 29. You have the right to take responsibility. We have a duty to other people, and we should protect their rights and freedoms. More specifically, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights says in Article 29, in part, everyone has duties to the community in which alone the free and full development of their personality is possible. You have the right to take responsibility. You have the right to exercise the power you need to make the choices that are right. Nobody is going to get it right all the time. Should you get called out on something, don't take it as an attack. It isn't that at all. It is someone else exercising their responsibility to point out something that you were not considering. It is an education. Learn. Improve, and do a little better next time. Nobody gets it right all the time. You do the best you can. ¶¶ Orb operates exclusively on listener support. Please visit us at orbcast.ca and join in. There is a discussion forum and other premium content for members. If you have a topic you would like the Orb to focus on, please send an email to suggestions@orbcast.ca. You can write to me at host@orbcast.ca. I'm Reed Hart.